Hey, Mark, I don't hear anything, buddy.
Can't hear me?
Nah, now I can.
Huh.
There you go.
Now you can hear me? Can
you hear me before? Yep. Sounds like you're far away, though.
I just bought a new
one. Now I can't hear you.
Can't hear me again?
Now I can.
What the hell is going on?
I don't know.
Oh. Well,
hopefully. Oh. I just hear a bunch of weird static, kind of. I'm not hearing anything, just a bunch of echoing if you're talking.
How about now?
There you go.
Alright. I gotta pull this guy a bunch of knobs.
It kinda sounds like you're in a Wawa room or something. So still not hearing if you're doing anything.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like when I talk, then I can hear you for a second.
Hang on.
Oh, all right. Welcome to Wednesday night kayak fishing radio. Mark Wheeler's having technical difficulties over there. It's Matt Truck's Yacht Chum. Hoping Mark can figure out his knobs and all his new doohickeys over there.
All right. Now I got echo on this end.
You're good now, though.
See if that works.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Wow, that's something.
Yeah.
Max reverb.
Let's try that. All right. Still didn't work? What the heck? All right, I'm going to drop off for a second, and I'll be right back. All right. Can anyone hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can
hear you.
Matt? Loud and clear.
All
finally.
Right. Okay. So let's do this. We're going to do
You're actually coming through loud and clear.
Yeah, I had the cord switched. Ladies and gentlemen,
all right.
Part two of this night show. Oh, Jesus Christmas Street. How you stop now?
Part
hey, everybody,
three.
Welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic. I am your host, Mark Dominicu Wheeler. I have on the line Matt Trucks. We're talking about early bass fishing. We have Arlie joining us. What's going on, man? If you can call in, the number is 714-816-4727. They're Rob. It'd be greatly appreciated. All right. Everyone sit back. Crack a cold one. And let Daddy Mark take care of you. All right. Shallow water, pre-spawn bass fishing, and river bass fishing. Well, the first one we're going to talk about is river. If you have smallmouth, this is where it's going to be any concern with you. The reason about the smallmouth is this, is that they like cold water, okay? So 45, 50 degrees, they're priming up and getting ready, which is right now in many of our waterways, except for maybe up north and like the Susquehanna. But this is where all those spots, those deeper holes that you were fishing all winter long for those smallmouth, those fish are now going to be pushed up on the rim, okay, around the edge of those holes, if not the secondary holes, meaning you have one big deep hole, and then you'll have a adjoining hole, probably 20, 30 yards up or downstream, that is slightly shallower than that deeper hole. I call those the pre-spawn stack kid holes, okay? The reason is those bass are moving into those holes. They're shallower, not as much, energy spent running around. It comes over, you come up, eat it, and done deal right there, okay? Never caught a smallie? Man, Arlie, we got to hit up the James River, man. Arlie put on there, never caught a smallie. Call in, buddy, like I said. I'd be greatly appreciated. Anyway, let's see here. I was saying, there's a spot there, Arlie, up on the James River where you can catch smallmouth and then next cast hook into a 40-plus inch muskie. Phone is on the fritz. All right. No problem. But, it's just awesome. I found out about this the other day, and I'm going to go try it out probably after the boondoggle. That's when the muskie will really get active. Should be a ton of fun. So, like I said, run around those secondary holes. Any place where those bass can sit, again, they're still cold, but they're getting more active, okay? And where they can eat a lot of food. So if you're paddling and you look over, and of course, really good polar light sunglasses, Coast of Del Mar, and you stand up and you look, and you see a bunch of bait, which are casting not in the bait, but around the bait. Okay, so I can almost guarantee you there's going to be a smallmouth. There's probably going to be a muskie. If it's got a largemouth in it, there's definitely going to be largemouth around it. Okay, and what am I talking about, bait? If you're on the James River, okay, or any of the rivers up and down the East Coast that run into salt water or run into a large body of water, it's going to be shad, okay? You're going to look down, and there's just going to be a school of shad blowing by you, okay? And if you look behind the school of shad, there's going to be a couple of bass behind it, if not muskie, if not catfish, if not something else, chasing that shad, okay? And those shad are running in the rivers and streams to spawn and do their thing, all right? And you're going to sit there and be like, oh, lordy, 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 and just start just hammering into them, okay? This is the time you're going to catch some of your larger fish. Simple as that, okay? Ton of fun. So, and I mentioned, probably you didn't hear me, I mentioned I'm going to have a new format. and this is how it's going to be broken down. Think Rome is Burning or whatever that's called, where he has those really cool sound effects, and then, you know, he talks about something for a second and then does another sound effect. So we have some new sounds on here. And first off, for the river, smallmouth, what baits to use this time of year? It's pretty simple, actually. Anything. Top waters, small buzz baits, probably a quarter to a half ounce buzz baits. Jerk baits work excellent this time of year. Spinner baits, even better. All of those baits, active baits, power fishing styles will work for this very effectively. Where you can find them, in, like I said, in the deeper wintering holes and or those secondary pools, in the larger eddies, where they can feed a lot, feed quickly, and not have to expend a huge amount of energy. I love this.
How many monkeys you got?
I got a monkey. I got a rooster. If I really wanted to, I could crack the whip. sorry. Some of the best places along the East Coast to find fish like this, the Rappahannock. Up in Jersey, there's apparently a spot up there, the James River. There are several areas up and down this area. If you look up your, you know, magical crystal ball, i.e. the internet, and it shows you there are smallmouth there, that's where I would focus, and you do very well. All right. There's smallmouth 101. Pretty simple. Smallies are simple. They're easy. There's not a lot of places where they can go this time of year. Okay, they're not going to be in a foot of water, period. Okay? Unless you're talking about having water over 55 degrees. Okay? Simple as that. They'll be in the deeper holes, sitting there, doing their thing. All right? If you found them in the wintertime, guess what? You'll find them there. But on to the next one. And the second portion, or one of the portions, is brought to you by
Boondoggle! Boondoggle. Boondoggle. Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? I suggest you get your butt up, come find out, February 15th through 18th, President's Day weekend in Titusville, Florida at Cars Park. It'll be one heck of a weekend with good people, and then there's a bunch of kayakers too. For more information, go to yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
All right, that's right. This is brought to you by the boondoggle. That first portion, that was just the Cars Park one, I think. No Ricky Bobby. But yeah, brought to you by Cars Park and the boondoggle. For more information, go to yakangler.com/boondoggle. All right. Let's see here. Oh, hang on. Sorry. Oh, we have a caller. That was supposed to work anyway. We have a caller.
You have a caller, yes. Or you're calling somebody?
No, we have a caller. Who's this? It's dropping the bomb bass time. That's right, folks. It is time for the bomb bass moment. Brought to you by dropping the bomb lures. It's a figure speech, folks. This is the time of the year for big bass, aggressive bass, lots of bass, hence the big bomb moment in shallow water lakes. Okay? And what do I mean by that? I mean talking about when you step out in the water, you should almost hear this in the background down underneath the water. Because here it comes. They know that the pain is about to be brought. All right? What am I talking about? I'm talking about pre-spawn big bass fishing, okay? this is the time of the year, especially if you're down, I'm going to say from South Carolina south, okay, where there are some, where they're starting to hit their pre-spawn mode already, right? Because the water doesn't get below 50 degrees, you know, doesn't hit in the low 50s. That's telling me that they're pre-spawning right now, okay? Baits, things I'm going to be using, all right? For baits, I'm big old pigs. Big old buck of mouth. The chug, sorry, Carly puts in there the Shaw Grigsby voice. You think, oh, man, you know, yeah, Shaw Grigsby is. Anyway, I can't believe it. Anyway, you see the size of this pig? Now you're going to all Shaw Grigsby. But what you're going to do, okay, is this is when you don't bring out your ultralight gear. This is not the time to bring out, you know, your light lines, okay? You know, yes, elephants eat peanuts, but goddammit, an elephant would rather eat a hay field, okay, or a big bale of hay in one bite than it would a peanut, all right? So, with that being said, this is why I'm busting out everything over 6 inches, okay? This is the time where you can lie your ass off, okay? But it'll be the truth. All right, so I'm talking big swim baits. I'm talking those big power shads, caffeine shads, storms, 6-inch storms, okay? They need to be used for catching stripers, all right? I use this time of year for that coming up for me up here, but down south for bass, okay? I'm talking the big Hackney jig where it's got like 3 skirts on it, you know, it weighs a pound and a half on its own kind of thing. That's what
don't
you're going to want to use this time of year.
Don't forget your BBZ One Spro.
Oh, yeah. The big BBZ One, the 6-inch ones. Any big swim bait this time of year. Big crankbait. The 8-inch? I have a 6-inch one. I must be the old one. You know, the big crankbaits. Big jointed shad baits from Rapala. Okay? There's a reason Rapala, all right, has been around forever, and there's a reason that they work, all right? Those jointed shads are the bomb this time of year. You take that sucker and you can drop, oh, I'm going to get the next one here in a second. Literally, when I, then this next one I'm going to do a cool sound effect. But when I drop that jointed shad, I'm putting it by grass, I'm putting it by everything, all right? And now, notice I'm not talking about spots. Reason is the bass will be where the bait is, period. Okay? You can be, man, this should, you know how it, let's see here. Oh, come on, where did it go? Hang on, I'm getting there. Well, we all know the, what's that guy's name? Troy Duckett, I think. Or any of the old-time bass fishermen, you know, the ones I'm talking about, wearing the trucker cap, have, more money in their boat than their house kind of thing, right? They're going to tell you got to go over here, you're going to want to fish the ledges, you're going to want to fish the points, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, blah, 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 okay? And you get out there, and you're fishing those ledges and those points, and there's no bait on them. But you look across the lake, all right, on the shallow flat that is packed full of brim, shad, little bait fish, and there's a hatch going on for whatever reason. Yes, they'll eat bugs, okay? Hatches mean that the brim will be up there. If the brim are up there, guess where the bass are going to be? Right behind them, okay? So take everything you know about, what Billy Bob and his greatness has ever said, okay, and throw it out the window and just listen to Mark. Find the bait and you will find the fish, okay? And yes, probably you'll find them on those ledges and those points and everything else, but go into it not looking at structure this time, you know, coming up in the pre-spawn. But look at it is, where is the bait? Use your depth finder. Shallow lakes, most likely you won't need a depth finder because you'll see them flipping on top, okay? Or you'll see the bass breaking the surface, okay? Now, I was talking about the Boss Hog, my all-time favorite this time of year, okay? And that is dropping the Bomber Long A, all right? I'm telling you, you drop a Bomber Long A in any color, usually, and you'll be doing very well for yourself. Reason is, in shallow lakes, and I'm talking about shallow lakes here, all right? In shallow lakes, you take that 6-inch Bomber Long A, that's what it kind of sounds like, all right? And you drop that sucker along the shoreline and around the bait, and you give it a solid retrieve, all right? With bringing that bait out, I'm going to say about 10 feet from the bank, and you snap that rod tip like you're setting the hook sideways really hard. I let it sit there for a second. Start reeling again. If the bass is within 10 feet and he can see that son of a gun, he gets what he's doing. He's going to get hammered by, that's right, the Bomber in the side of his head. Simple. Period, end point. Done. All right. I truly, truly believe that people do not use some of the old standbys enough. Listen, folks, Bomber Long A's, swim baits, goose turds. We all seen the goose turd, all right? And the goose turd is basically looks like a goose turd. It looks like Frosty the Snowman almost, or even better for those of us that, you know, for those of you out there that grew up with South Park, it looks like a Mr. Hankey, okay, with a lip on it, all right, a bill on it. Looks stupid, but that's the goose turd, okay? It is an excellent, quote-unquote, crankbait. Reason is, it sinks like a rock, all right? The way it is reeled in, all right, it has the same profile as, or same running style, best way to put it, as a Lipless crankbait, okay? And do I throw Lipless crankbaits? You better believe it. Am I using really heavy ones? Oh, yeah. I'm going for a large body, okay? A large, folks, you have to understand something. I'm not going for quantity. I am going for quality. And this is the time of year, pre-spawn and post-spawn, that you will find that quality, okay? Especially near the end of the pre-spawn, okay? When those bass are getting, these turds don't float, okay? Those bass are getting bigger. The females are getting all pregnant, okay? It is, you know, someone went all, come on. They're about ready to do that. They're about ready to get all. On each other, okay? It's as simple as that. Alright? So, like I said, throw those large baits. Go for the quality. Trust me, it is much more gratifying to catch two bass that are huge than catching 20 12-inch bass. Yes, they're fun. And who doesn't enjoy catching things that just drag on top of the water? Because, of course, we are not using small stuff. All right? What do I mean by small? I am talking anything that cannot handle a 3/4-ounce jig. Okay? I'm not talking lightweight either. I'm talking heavy rods. And I'm not talking small line. I'm talking at least 40 to 50-pound braid. We are not kidding around. At least this is me. This is what I'm trying to explain to y'all folks. You want big fish? Fish big. Fish 50-pound braid. Fish it with 25-pound fluorocarbon. Okay? Don't play nice with these things, all right? Like I said, you have an opportunity right now, or in South Carolina, probably North Carolina too, to catch your biggest fish of your life. Why risk it? Okay. Now, I haven't even talked about structure bait. And the best structure bait, and I'm telling you, you're going to sit there and you're going to be like, well, you know, you talk about that bait. Jigs, okay? And I'm not talking small jigs, you know, because if you throw a small jig right now, I'm just going to look at you like you're a... I'm talking ounce and a half, all right, big jigs, okay? They're literally, hang on, it's here somewhere. When you slide into a spot and you're about to flip that jig in there, hang on. Oh, come on. Wow, we got rid of it? Nuts. Oh, we had a great sound bite for that. You know, I hate when they change up the sound bites on me.
I guess when the list gets over 100, you have to purge a few.
I don't know, man. It's actually smaller than it ever was before. But when you get over a spot and you drop that sucker in there, it's just a big... Notice I like the sound bite. But you're sliding in, okay, with that jig ready. And like I'm saying, ounce and a half jigs. If you can get away with a 2-ounce one, do it. Wood, but especially docks and grass, okay? Some of that older grass still matted on top or about 6 inches below, all right? Find those spots where you can barely see that hole. And these bass are getting very aggressive, all right? You're going to slide right in there, pitch it in there, and hold on. This is now the time for me to talk about one specialized piece of gear that I recommend for everyone. It's the Denny Brower. Anyway, it's from Ardent. It's the Denny Brower, whatever you want to call it. Flip and pitch reel, okay? It is strictly for flipping and pitching, okay? It does not hold 100 yards of line. It holds, I think, maybe 50 tops, okay? Mine is spooled with Vicious braid, 50-pound braid, going down to 30-pound fluorocarbon, 6 feet of it, all right? The reason this reel is so great is because it has 25 pounds of drag. And guess what? You can't adjust it. You can't screw this up, okay? You take the thing, you press down the button, you release it, it stops the line going out, period. So you take that ounce and a half, and you drop it on top of their head. You watch that line jump. You release your finger, your thumb off the spooler thingy-majigger. I forgot it, so there you go. Off the bail switch. And then you take both hands, and you swing for the fences, okay? I mean, it should be you should hear this coming out of the water, okay? And your rod should be going, okay, tight on his butt. You do not play nice with these things. All right, as I said, big jig like that, you're going for 5, 6, 10, 12-pound bass, all right, with a big trailer on it. Don't play nice. Have I explained myself well enough to everyone, okay? Because apparently I didn't explain myself well enough last week to let people know that I really don't care if you don't like me trapping. Okay, I don't care. I'm still going to do it. You can't persuade me not to do it. Why? Because it's a ton of fun. Period. All right. Simple. Done. All right. You have any questions on that?
No. I do understand that if you catch the dock, you could reel the whole dock in if you wanted to with that set up.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man. Well, but the nice thing about that Denny Brower and my rod setup, and I use the Skeet Reese foot and pitch rod. It's yellow. It's the only yellow thing on my whole kayak. You know, and it works great for flipping and pitching at 8 foot, but it also works great at taking an ounce and a half jig and skipping it underneath the dock. And with that Denny Brower, you know, I just thumb my finger on there, and it, and then, you know, I can watch it sink. It usually doesn't get far. I've had bass actually hit it while it's skipping on the surface. I thought that was pretty cool. The one day I caught two like that, you know, skipping underneath the dock. It would get underneath the board on the dock, and all of a sudden I hear, Scotty's came, there he is, come. You know, doing my shog grips, like, oh, good lord, you know, doing all that good stuff. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't, you know, flipping is actually the, you know, next to, you know, when I'm moving to a spot and I'm tossing those larger baits, the BBZs, stuff like that, the big cranks, the big rattle traps, I'm actually moving not to throw all those, but actually throw the jig. And on those areas where the bait is near the grass, you know, grass always holds bait, you know. And actually, most people don't realize that bass love to eat carp. And I'm talking fried carp, you know, because carp are already spawning right now. It doesn't matter where you are, I think from Pennsylvania south, as long as you're not frozen over.
The carp always spawning.
Yeah. So there's a steady supply of, like, you know, 2.5, 3-inch, 4-inch fry right now, all everywhere. So, yeah, man. Oh, excuse me. Dinner's kicking my butt, man. Anyway.
Good.
So, yeah, don't be afraid to throw big, folks. I'm telling you. It's definitely worth it. And I think I should do it for that section. I get in all of them right now. This would be cool. All right. That last portion of the show was brought to you by...
Boondoggle. Boondoggle. Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? Come out President's Day weekend to Cars Park in Titusville, Florida for family fun, great fishing in the no motor zone, and hang out with a bunch of crazy kayakers.
We're going streaky! Yeah!
Put your clothes back on, Chuck. For more information, please visit yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
There you go. Again, brought to you by the Boondoggle and Ricky Bobby. Actually, that last portion is brought to you by the guys at Kayak Fishing Florida Radio. They're not paying us anything for this advertisement. More like giving each other props. I can't thank them enough. That's... Oh, crud. Steve Chapman, thank you. Steve Chapman, doing a great solid for us. Him, Mike Ortego, and Tackle Webs. I can't say enough about everyone at Fisher Florida Radio and everything they do for us and for what we do for them. It is a great thing. For more information, go to Fishing Florida Radio on Facebook. Or on their website, I guess we have. Great show on Saturday mornings. Always a fun time to be had by all. All right. Do you listen to those guys at all there, Matt?
Sorry, I didn't catch that cutout.
Do you listen to Fishing Florida Radio at all?
I have not.
Oh,
but then again, I don't live anywhere close to Florida, so.
I think they talk... I call in all the time from up here, and they're like, what are you fishing up there? You know, it's like, well, man, I'm, you know, right now, folks, if you don't know it, there's bluefin tuna about 5 miles offshore of Virginia Beach, okay? I've been running charters all week and doing, you know, leaving at like 8 in the morning, coming in by 10 with our limit, which is one tuna, all right, over 150 pounds, 200 pounds. I mean, this is how easy it's been. You know, running 80 wides, running, you know, 14, 16 aught senators. I don't use any Shimano on the big boat. You know, just tearing them up, man. I mean, it's just been awesome. So, let's get right to part trace, because we went through part deuce. Part trace. Okay. Deep water lakes, okay, are really simple to break down. Again, yes, you're looking for bait, but now it becomes a little bit more of a finesse style, okay? We are still going to throw those big baits, But a bomber long A, I hate to tell you, and it hurts me to say it, isn't going to reach a bass down 20 foot deep. Okay? But you know what will? A big worm. Okay, worms, when fished not on the bottom, let me say that again, a worm fished not on the bottom, okay, looks a heck of a lot like a really thin shad, okay? It looks like an eel, and fresh water is full of eels. It's full of weird-looking things. The big one, my personal favorite big worm, is the Strike King Anaconda, okay? It's a 10-inch worm that looks a heck of a lot like a pickerel, okay? A 10-inch thin pickerel. Bass love to eat pickerel, okay? Until they get to about a foot long, anything in that, you know, 0 to 12-inch range, a bass is going to eat them, okay? Again, I'm running this. Actually, I'm going old school, okay, and running a double hook rig in this anaconda. Easily, how do you rig a double hook? Okay, it's a long lost art. I actually learned it by watching an old Jimmy Houston, and we all know Jimmy, you know. I've looked at pictures from him from like the 80s. This is about, what now, almost 30 years. And his hair was white back then with the same bowl haircut. Looks like someone stuck a bowl on top of his head and just cut around the rim. Same goofy looking son of a gun. But he did a show on double hook rigs, okay? I know Berkeley Power Bait still have the double hooks, all right? And all you're going to need is a long furniture needle, okay? You can buy them at, like, Joann's. You can buy them, I think, at Walmart, too. A 6-inch needle, all right? The longer the better, okay? And what you're going to do is take that needle, start from the head, and run it down until it comes out about 4 to 5 inches behind where your lead hook would be. So it behooves you, if you haven't done this before, to go ahead and lay your lead hook down so the eye is at the very tip of the head, okay, and where the hook point would be pushing into the bait. That makes any sense. Oh, let me break it down. See it like this. When you use a double hook rig, you use an old school octopus hooks or kale hooks. The same thing we use for flounder now is what you'd use for this. Okay? Is what they were originally designed for. Okay? Most people don't realize that kale hooks, okay? I forget the guy's first name, but he was a bass fisherman back in the 60s. His name is, last name was Kale. I cannot remember his first name. I just had a conversation with the guy about this. I think it was Gary Kale. Anyway, he designed this hook because of the double hook rig. It is the original extra wide gap reedless hook. Okay? It's strong and it works. Only reason we don't use it anymore is because it's just kind of faded away. But what I use for the anaconda is a 2-aught, okay, kale hook. You lay it down, so the hook point, like just same way you rig an extra weedless rig, okay? And then what you're going to do is from where the back of that extra, you know, the number 2 kale, where that hook is in there, is where you're going to want to come out at. Hence, I said the longer needle, the better is kind of what you're looking for. I have a 10-inch needle like do this on. I pre-rig all my baits for that, all right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to push that needle, the back, let me restart. I am taking the needle, putting the eye of the needle, okay, the one where you put the thread through, first. Not using the tip, all right? I know it seems kind of backwards, but this is how you do it, all right? And I take I have a small round piece of wood that I put the sharp end on so I can push everything through without digging into my flesh. And you push that through there, okay, until you get to where you want it, like I said, about 4 inches behind where the original hook point is sticking out at, all right? You're going to punch it through there, all right, through the body, on the bottom of your bait, okay? So the hooks are in line with each other, all right? and you can rotate that around if you have a large bait, like a, let's say it's a Senko, okay? And on Senko, guess what? It doesn't matter where you put the hook, all right? There is no bottom to a Senko, all right? Unless you got the ones with the hook keepers already in them, and if you're using them, you're just missing out on all a bunch of fun. But, you know, push that sucker all the way through there, okay? And then you're going to take your line that is already snelled, okay? If you don't know how to snell a hook, learn, okay? You're going to push that through there, put your snelled line. I use 50-pound fluorocarbon, 15, 1-5, okay, through the eye, and I'm grabbing it, and I'm pulling it all the way through, okay, until the eye of the hook goes into the body of the bait, okay? Now, for that leader section, you're going to want at least 2 feet. Why is that, okay? Reason is now you're going to take that lead hook, okay, and you're going to go and run it all the way through the body or through the line, okay, and what's called a half hitch, okay? This is where it gets kind of funky, all right? You're going to do a couple of half hitches, okay, or lock hitches if you are a fly tire. You know what I'm talking about, okay, onto there. So this way you are pulling from the head and not from the tail. When you pull from the tail, it makes the whole thing spin, okay? Unless you're a walleye fisherman, bass don't like things that spin weird, okay? So, like I said, a couple of half hitches if you're just starting off. If you know how to snell them, you can do it effectively, and you can do it right on the dot, snell it, okay? I actually leave a little loop in the line when I am done that I kind of push back into the body of the bait. Just to make sure that I am pulling from the head, okay? After snelling that bait, I'm going to rig it just the same way I would an extra wide gap, you know, through the nose, down through, you know, skin tag it, whatever. All right. Now I've got that extra little section. That's my leader. I don't use a huge leader for this because I am changing these baits out a lot, and it does behoove you to pre-rig at home. At the end of that leader, I'm going to use a tiny, tiny, tiny barrel swivel. Okay, those small ones you see the crappy guys use, guess what? They're rated up to about 30, 40 pounds. You'll be fine. All right, they'll hold up. Actually, Spro makes one, okay? It's called the Inline Spro Swivel. It's a tuna swivel. It is what we use on the tuna boats for wind-on. It's the wind-on swivel. There you go. That's what I was looking for. It's a really small, really strong swivel. It works really, really well. And again, that's about, after you're said and done, probably about 18 inches of leader material, all right? Before we put this all in the swivel, see how I keep jumping around, folks? You know, it's because my mind's running a mile a minute. I'm going to put on there a half-ounce to three-quarter-ounce bullet sinker, okay? Same one you use on your worms and everything else before. You know, instead of like an eighth ounce, you're using big boy. If you want to go even farther, use the Florida screw-on rigs, okay? One with the corkscrew on the back end of them, and it'll really behoove you to do that, actually. That's what I do. So like I said, yeah, with those bigger ones, you're going to launch this big bait, okay? And actually, I use the same style of rod, the Flip and Pitch Skeet Reese rod, okay? Why? It's long, and I need a really good heave on it, okay? But I match that with a good bait casting reel, the Shimano Kanin, the Helios, or the Komodo from Akuma. I actually have Komodo on mine. It is boss hog awesome, all right? I've got 30-pound braid, okay, with a tactical angler. And you need to hear more about tactical angler now because I've known about tactical angler and their snaps, but I didn't realize that a childhood friend of mine or a guy that I knew growing up, Crazy Alberto Nee, if you don't know who Crazy Al is, you don't know striper fishing. I grew up watching Crazy Al at Montauk doing work. I mean, the guy's amazing. Hopefully we'll get him on the show here soon. But with a great tactical angler's quick snap, all right? So you get out there, you throw this big bait, and you're just like, you know, little ninja action. All right? You send that bait a mile. You're going to hit the water, okay? And you count. That bait will sink, and I can tell you all right offhand, it'll sink about 2 feet every second. So if you're sitting in 20 foot of water and those bass are sitting at 18 foot, you count to 9. All right? Actually, I would count to 8, so you start reeling at 9. and don't reel slow, okay? You'll just hit the bottom. Reel. Like you mean it. Reel it quick, okay? If you're using a high-speed reel, just reel it normally. You're going to be catching up the line anyway. If you're using a 5-to-1, you know, heavy-duty reel, you're going to have to really put some backbone into it and really crank hard to catch up to that bait so it doesn't hit the bottom and stays into your strike zone, all right? But you're going to reel that thing, reel, pause, reel, snap the last tip, and just keep reeling. You are looking to create a injured pickerel running through the water. Period. That's up what it is, okay? Along with that, baits you want to throw. Again, a big 6-inch storm, okay, is going to do wonders for you, all right? I love my big storms. Wooden baits, darters, okay, baits that dig deep, rattle traps, lipless crankbaits, bucktails. Yes, I said bucktails. A quarter to a half ounce bucktail works excellent for deep lakes. Okay, you add on there a shad tail, like a Slayer Inc. SSB, or, you know, a cheapo shad tail. You know, the bulk ones you can get at most tackle shops for making dredges and stuff like that. Guess what? That works great, all right, on a bucktail. A gulp will work great. All those baits, crank baits, stuff like that, are going to be effective. One thing I haven't mentioned is a secret. Now, you got to promise me, y'all, that you won't tell anyone this secret, okay? And that is popping corks. You're going, really? Popping corks? Come on now. I use popping corks out in the marsh for the speckled trout and the redfish. I'm not going to throw a popping cork for bass, am I? I'm telling y'all, popping cork for bass, okay? And this is how you're going to rig it. The same way you would in the salt water, okay? Except you're going to run a little bit more line, okay, underneath your bait. If you're sitting in 12 foot of water, you're going to want at least 6 foot a leader, okay? If you're sitting in 10, run 5. If you're running in other baits or other depths, adjust accordingly, okay? But a popping cork has actually became my new favorite bait for bass, okay? Now, or technique, I should say. Baits I use underneath it, and there's only one bait, and that is the Berkley Gulp Ghost Shrimp. It looks like a crawfish, okay? And it's the same thought process as running a pop a cork in the salt. You cast it out there, okay, and you pop it, and you pop it, and you pop it, and what it's sounding like is bass feeding on crawfish, okay? It is absolutely awesome. Old Bill just joined us. Sorry, Bill, I just had to step away from my computer. You're in Nebraska, dude. Kansas, excuse me. I would definitely try this out in Kansas, man. you would be the only guy throwing a popping cork. And you could actually buy popping corks online for pretty darn cheap. I'd buy several varieties. But the long, thin ones, the thinner the better, it seems like they work better in the freshwater. And actually, R. Lee, if you get a chance, Lake Smith, just there off of Northampton, is where I've been tearing them up, man, on this popping cork. You know, in Lake Smith, you only need about 2.5-3 feet of leader to just absolutely just tear them up. Tear them up like a boss. Back to what I was saying. But those popping corks work very well. They're great, absolutely phenomenal for beginners, okay? And they catch really, really big fish. I actually pulled a 6-pounder out of there on Monday, you know, and all that nastiness we were having on a popping cork. They really, it's ringing the dinner bell. You know, sitting there and, come on, my dang computer just dinged on me. You know, and you pop that thing and it's just like a,
ring-a-ding, ding, ding, you dong. Ring-a-ding, ding, ding, dong. Ding, ding, you ding, you dong.
The dinner bell. That's all you're doing. You're just ringing that dinner bell. It is a ton of fun, and like I said, for a beginner, they see it happen. They see that pop of cork either go under the water or take off, or what I actually see happen more often than not is a pop, you know, they see the cork, and you'll notice how which way it goes in its direction, okay, with the float, with the wind. But all of a sudden, you'll see it not moving in a natural direction, meaning, A, it's coming towards you at a pretty good clip. Well, B, it was moving, and now it stopped, okay? And it's kind of doing that up-and-down kind of bob kind of thing. Or it's going against the wind, or it's going away from you, or it's now sitting higher up in the water. It is all those mixed in, and that could be that fish is just eating it, and he's just sitting there eating it, all right? Now, hooks I use in techniques or in setups.
Before you go on the hooks, how are you working the popping cork? Are you popping it or just reeling it or a little of both or just letting it sit there and then popping it? Or
it's a pop, reel, sit there for a second, pop, reel, sit there for a second, pop, reel, you know. Right. Just kinda,
that's what I thought. You just want your bait to get back down to that strike zone.
Yeah. And you're only jacking that bait maybe 5 or 6 inches in a vertical before it drops back down. You'll see it because all of a sudden your popping cork will be laying on the side. I'll sort of go, blip, 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 blip. That's when you know it's all the way down the bottom, you know, when you should pop it again. You know, I give it about a split second before I pop it, and I wait for it, and it goes, blip, 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 blip. And then I pop it, and then it lays on the side, and it goes vertical. Now, this is, it is a quiet night. Now, what I do is this. Is I use 1/8 ounce, is an 1/8 ounce egg sinker, okay, to a number one mosquito hook, okay, and I just barely hook. I don't hear her at all. Huh?
I don't know what that means.
But I just hook the tail. You know, pop, 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 pop. And when it goes down, I give it a second. All right? And I actually wait for my line to naturally come tight if it's a sinking, if he pulled that float down. If it stops or it's just moving in an unnatural direction, I will slowly reel, okay? I feel my line becomes taut, and it starts to create a bow in my rod, okay? Now, I'm using the same stuff I use for salt water. That's a spinning reel. Do not try to throw a popping cork on a baitcaster. You will be disappointed. Okay? Throw it on a spinning rod. All right? Now, if you're using 10 feet a leader, it's going to be really hard for you to make a cast. What you do, okay, and this is the Clark Spoon experience, is you take the bait with the hook to the top of the popping cork and just kind of lay it on top, if that makes any sense. So what you're going to do is you're going to take the hook, bring it to the line, okay, so it kind of hooks the line, and just let it lay on top of the popping cork, okay? When you cast it, it'll naturally come off. If it doesn't come off reel, then do it again. All right. As simple as that. It's called the Clark Spoon cast because those of you that ever threw a Clark Spoon from a pier know that you need a weight in front of it before you can cast it, okay, to get any distance out of it. And you take the Clark Spoon and you just rest it on top of the weight before you cast. Pretty slick, huh? So, yeah, those are the two baits I use in deep water lakes. Actually, I use them in all lakes, but, you know, those are the big ones. And I don't slow anything down. Again, I don't fish for pre-spawn bass until the water temps hit 50 degrees because I don't like to get them right at the very beginning because they're still finicky and still kind of cold, and I don't want them in the middle because they're still just too small, okay? That six-pounder I caught on Monday, most likely, okay, if I would have caught him at the end of February, I'd be looking at a 10-plus-pound bass. And the best part about it is that bass was there all last year, too. Okay? That bass doesn't leave this area. It is awesome! Okay? So, use those setups, and you will not be disappointed.
What do you think about Zara spooks for the pre-spawn bass?
Spooks?
Yep.
You know, if you find them on a shallow flat, and then
they're
Yeah, 4 feet or less, I throw a junior spook. Because those big bass, you know, they're you're trying to, you know, for hot water, I match it as much as possible. That's the only time doing pre-spawn or post-spawn that I match. But yeah, a spook junior in bone might work. I'm just saying. But yeah, spooks work.
You could throw anything at them, and that would work better in the shallow water and the heavy weeds, you know.
Yeah, but you know, when done, you know, I would work it real slow, you know, and really. You know, a spook or, what's that one? Oh, shoot. River the Sea makes it. It's a Dahlberg creation. I think it's the wide glide. That's it.
Yeah.
Where you snap the rod tip and the thing glides like 20 feet. yeah, those wide glides would work great. And actually, that's my plan for when I head back to Tennessee to the go back to the factory down there in Sparta. I'm gonna go after those musky with a big wide glide and tear them big old buggers up. Can't wait. So, yeah.
Have you ever used a what they call a bullet bobber? It's kind of like your popping cork setup.
No.
You can drag lures with it. You can walk the dog with it. You control these things. You snap the rod. They change direction.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that stupid thing.
Yeah.
I don't believe in it. Wow, I'm sorry.
I've done all right with largemouth bass up in here with them, just trolling spinner baits and crank baits with it.
Right. Sorry, not to change the subject, but I just watched Paula Deen throw a bait caster like a champ.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, she snapped her wrist and everything, man. That was, man, I'm gonna watch that again. That was impressive. I love TiVo. Where I can just pull back and check everything out. But yeah, that's going to be my new thing. If I see someone that can't do a bait caster, that should. You know, has had one for like 20 years. I want to see them be like, man, Tyler Bean can throw a bait caster better than you. So, yeah, I'm a goofball. What about it? All right. Let's get here. Oh, crap. We've already had an hour. I love it. All right, folks. With that, if you have any questions at all, comments, concerns, gripes, complaints, you can email me, LandyCrew@yahoo.com. And I do appreciate the 4 emails I got out of the 6. Out of the 10 emails I've got from last week's show, I do appreciate the 4 that called me a killer and a savage and other things I cannot say on the air. I do appreciate you doing that. It has only hardened my resolve. And just to let you know that I currently have 2 beautiful raccoons hanging up and about a dozen coyotes just for you. Thank you. All right. What happened last week? Last week, I did a hunting and trapping show. And I spent a good amount of time talking about trapping out of a kayak, trapping muskrats, mink, beaver, stuff like that, or using your kayak to get to, you know, a section of you know, hunting territory where you could get to before, you know, or using it as a way to chase some beaver, or, you know, if you have deer that, you know, every time you walk up on them, they push across to another piece of property, you know, on the other side of a river, and it keeps driving you insane, you know, being able to see the kayak and coming in behind them, you know, stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean,
the other half of the show, Mark was talking about how he doesn't care what you think about trapping, and trapping is God.
No, I didn't say anything like that. No. I didn't do anything like that.
No,
and I do appreciate them saying, hey, you know, I can say this about the 4 of them. You know, tact is a wonderful thing. Be able to sit there and go, you know what, I just don't agree with you. You know, blah, 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 blah. That would have been fine. And I would have sent you back an email. And I completely understand. If you have any questions, please feel free to ask. But when you do that and then threaten me, it kind of had a problem with that. You know what I mean? So, America's gotten soft. Oh, my gosh. Don't get me started on that. Anyway, enough about that. I'd like to thank everyone that showed up tonight. Old Bill, Arlie in the chat room, the guest, and Matt, thank you for calling in. It's greatly appreciated.
No problem.
Arlie, post up your info. Did you get your kayak back yet? I'm sorry, I haven't been on Facebook or anything else like that. Actually, DeVore told me about losing your kayak. You know, you gotta watch out for that, man. So you didn't get it back. So post up your info. Everyone should keep an eye out. Bolo. Yeah. For those that don't know, Arlie's ocean kayak, I guess it was, it's orange or mango, was stolen off of his truck in Virginia Beach. So please keep an eye out for a orange ocean kayak prowler big game. Any stickers? Do you have stickers that were on it?
The stickers will probably be gone by now, but if he knows the serial, that's the best way.
Yeah.
That's tough to get rid of. And if you see one with a scratched off serial, that's pretty much saying, yep.
You know, if I'm sitting there, I've got 2 stickers that no one else in Virginia Beach will ever have on my kayak, so na 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 boo boo.
I live up in Jersey, and I pretty much store my kayaks on my truck so they're ready to go. And I use a pretty heavy-duty bike lock on my kayaks, and I lock them up around the rack just to, you know, any huge pair of bolt cutters will get through it, but it's, you know, it's just kind of a deterrent. And
yeah.
I've yet to have lost a boat yet, which is nice, because sometimes I'm in some pretty crappy areas from work, but
yeah. Seems
to have worked out.
But there is a positive to this. You know what? Now you have room there, Arlie, for a CUDA or a big tuna.
That's correct.
Mm. You know, actually, Arlie, get a hold of me when you get a minute or get time. I might have one for you. All right. Too late. No. All right. With that being said, I'd like to thank everyone that showed up again. I'd like to thank all my sponsors. I'd like to thank Slayer. Thank you. Oh, you got a native Slayer? Oh, you're killing me, dude. Killing me.
Wow, that might be an upgrade there.
It definitely is.
Yeah.
But I'm not seeing anything Salvage Ocean Kayaks.
No, not at all.
Slayers are a sweet boat, but they are no Judah or Jackson boat. Just saying. Like I said, Jackson Kayaks. Can't say enough about them. Great stuff. It's a great company, and if you put your butt in one, you realize how devout we all are. And once you own a Jackson kayak, you join the Jackson family. And that's couldn't be more from the truth. Mustad. Can't say enough about Mustad and everything they do for the Mid-Atlantic show. Mostly just give me a really good discount. YakKingler.com, home of the Boondoggle. Remember, the Boondoggle's coming up in less than a month. That is right. Less than a month to Boondoggle.
Love it.
Oh, man, I cannot wait. I'm like a kid in a candy store right now. So Boondoggling coming up. I'd like to thank Slayer, Inc. I'd like to thank I don't know who else to thank. Robson Paddles. More on Robson later. And with that, I'll see you do. Thank everyone for showing up again. Tune in next week for a show that I'm not quite sure about yet. So send me your thoughts, suggestions, questions, comments, what you think next week's show should be. Otherwise, I'll just sit there and go, I think Rob DeVore is a sexy man. Mm.
Jeez.
Oh, man. Anyway, with that, I thank everyone again, and catch you next week on Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic, only on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network. Good night, everybody. Stay safe. Always wear your PFD and Tiki Tip Fishing. Good night, everybody.